quarter 2014 results. Please be aware that each of your lines is in a listen-only mode. At the conclusion of the presentation, we will open the floor for questions. At that time, we will provide instructions for the procedure to follow if you would like to ask a question. If any participant has difficulties hearing the conference, please press star zero on your push-button phone for operator assistance. I would like to introduce Ms. Valérie Agathon, Vice President, Investor Relations of WIIC.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I would like to remind everyone that you can find on the company website at www.wiic.com the earnings press release, the presentation we will be commenting on during this conference call, an Excel file with the historical key figures for the group and each business, and the company financial statements. Statements made on this call are forward-looking statements. Such statements reflect objectives that are based on management's current expectations or estimates and are subject to a number of factors and uncertainties that could cause actual figures to differ materially from those described in the forward-looking statements. I would also like to remind you on slide 3 of the two changes impacting accounted as announced with full year results. First, 2013 reported figures have been restated for IFRS 11. You can find the detailed reconciliation on our website. Second, you have certainly noticed that the TF1 P&L figures at the WIIC group level differ from those published by TF1 2 weeks ago. In the figures reported by TF1, Eurosport International is accounted for in the net profit from held-for-sale operations line. However, at the WIIC group level, Eurosport International sales and EBIT will be accounted for in TF1 results until the closing of the sale of the additional 31% to Discovery. After the sale, TF1's remaining interest in Eurosport International will be accounted for using the equity method in both TF1 and WIIC reported figures. I would now like to turn the call over to Mr. Philippe Marien, Chief Financial Officer of WIIC.
Thank you, Valérie. Good afternoon to all of you, and thank you for joining us. I would like to welcome everyone to our conference call to discuss WIIC's first quarter results. With me in the room is Eric Henkens, Executive Vice President, Finance, HR and Strategy of WIIC Telecom. Following my comments, we will be available to answer your questions. On slide 5, I would like to summarize the key highlights of the quarter. First, in line with 2013, the group once again demonstrated its competitiveness and the benefits to customers of its innovation capabilities. Indeed, the construction businesses delivered another good quarter in terms of commercial activity. While Bouygues Telecom saw continued traction of 4G in its customer base and successfully launched its new fixed offering. They are number one in terms of net adds in the fixed market, with 100,000 new customers in the first quarter of 2014. The second highlight is a reminder that, like every year, first quarter operating results are not indicative of the group's full year performance. This statement is well illustrated by the key figures on slide 6. On top of Colas seasonality that impacts the first quarter operating performance every year, the first quarter of 2014 includes two exceptional items. First, non-current income of 196 million euros was recorded in the first 3 months. This relates in particular to litigation settlements at Bouygues Telecom. Second, you remember that we sold Colas' stake in CoffeeRoute in January and therefore recorded a net capital gain of 240 million euros at the group level. Excluding those two non-current items, net result in the first quarter of 2014 would have been a loss of 56 million euros, close to the first quarter of 2013 level. Regarding the impact of these non-current items, you will find detailed information in the appendix of this presentation. On slide seven, you can see that Bouygues' net debt increased by 290 million euros compared to the end of December 2013, a change that we explain in the coming slides. Looking at slide eight, you can indeed see that we received the proceeds from the sale of Colas' stake in Coffee Route for 780 million euros in the first quarter of 2014, while operations used 348 million euros more compared to the same period last year. This variation of operation is explained in the breakdown on slide nine. The 118 million euros increase in net cash flow is mostly coming from Bouygues Telecom, where cash flow is positively impacted by the non-current items of the quarter. Capital expenditure, however, is essentially at the same level as last year. Working capital requirement increased 481 million euros in the first quarter of 2014, mainly due to Bouygues Construction and Bouygues Telecom. We do expect to see some deterioration over the full year, as we shared with you in February. However, the first quarter variation is impacted by timing of spending and proceeds and is therefore not representative of full-year expectation. I will now provide highlights on each of our businesses, starting with commercial activity for the construction businesses. The construction businesses are off to a good start on slide 12, despite an economic environment that is not showing improvement. The order book is excellent, reaching a new record of 28.8 billion euros at end March 2014 and growing by 4% over end March 2013. Our international presence remains strong, representing 50% of the Bouygues Construction and Colas order books versus 45% at end March 2013. For each business, the first quarter commercial activity is in line with the trends we shared with you at the full-year result presentation in February. Turning to Bouygues Construction on slide 13, order intake reached a strong level of 3 billion euros in the first quarter of 2014 and was up 7% compared to last year. Interestingly, this amount is equally split between the French and international businesses. At 1.5 billion euros, order intake in France is down 11% compared to the first quarter of 2013. However, as you can see, it remained at a high level compared to the past 4 years. Significant contracts in the quarter include the renovation of the Paris-Bercy area, as well as the viaduct for the new coastal road in the Réunion Island. Also, at 1.5 billion euros, the international order intake is up 34% compared to the first quarter of 2013, which is confirming the dynamic already experienced last year. We have booked two new condominium towers in Singapore for about 150 million euros and signed our first contract in Ghana for the extension of the Ridge Hospital in Accra for about 160 million euros. To conclude order intakes, let me remind you that 2013 was at a very high level and that quarterly comparisons always depend on the timing of signature of large contracts. The 7% increase in the first quarter is therefore not to be extrapolated to the full year. We confirm that we expect a more complex situation in France in 2014, but remain confident that many opportunities exist internationally. The order book at end March 2014 achieved another record level at 18.2 billion euros, up 5% over end March last year, providing good visibility for 2014 and the years to come. 10.9 billion euros of sales are already secured beyond 2014. Moving to Bouygues Immobilier on slide 14, reservations for the first 3 months were 364 million euros, down 17% compared to last year. Residential reservations were up 6% from last year at 324 million euros, while there is no recovery in the market. It is gratifying to see that we maintain the level of reservations. On the positive side, we also continue to keep a very low residential inventory, and at end March, only 70 unsold finished apartments remained on our books, which represents 2 days of marketing. Commercial reservations were 40 million euros in the first quarter of 2014. The comparison to the first quarter of 2013 is explained by the signature last year of a large contract for the insurance company La Mondiale in Paris. This quarter is therefore another demonstration that quarterly comparisons are not meaningful, since they depend on the timing of the signature of those large contracts. We confirm that in a sluggish commercial market, Bouygues Immobilier expects to sign a number of large projects in 2014, thanks to its expertise in turnkey projects and green buildings. Some of those signings should occur in the second half of the year. Turning to slide, Colas had a good start to the year, and the backlog for the first 3 months was up 7% to 8.1 billion euros. The order book is a result of two opposite trends. The backlog in mainland France is down 9% at 3.6 billion euros, while the international and French overseas territories business posted a strong growth of 26% at 4.4 billion euros, including the contract for the new coastal road at the Réunion Island. As usual, we recommend caution in drawing conclusions for the full year for two main reasons. First, due to the seasonality, Colas' first quarter is never representative of the full year. Second, as highlighted already at the end of 2013, Colas' order book is becoming longer than in the past due to the momentum of the railways activity and the recent signing of several large contracts. Therefore, while the order book to be completed beyond 2014 is up 781 million euros, the order book to be executed in 2014 is down 5% at end March 2014 compared to the same date last year. We confirm that we expect a decrease of the order book in France in 2014, due to the impact of local elections and to the reduction of the French state grants to local administrations. However, we expect that our international activities should remain strong. Slide 16 highlights the operating results for the construction businesses. As usual, the first quarter results are not indicative of full-year performance due to Colas seasonality. Sales for the quarter were 5.2 billion euros, up 5% over last year, thanks to solid growth at Bouygues Construction and to a more favorable weather at Colas than the first quarter of 2013. Current operating loss for the construction businesses is somewhat similar to last year, while net profit is up 367 million euros. The net profit increase is explained by the net capital gain recorded by Colas on the sale on the sale of its stake in Coffee Root. Excluding this non-current item, the construction businesses would have recorded a loss of €43 million to be compared to a €46 million loss in the same period of 2013. As a whole, we confirm that we expect the 2014 operating performance of the construction businesses to remain robust. For your information, we have included in the addendum individual slides that contain key figures for each of the construction businesses. Moving to TF1 on slide 18, they have already published results and given detailed comments to the financial markets. As discussed by Valérie in the introduction, I remind you that at the Bouygues Group level, TF1 sales and operating income still include the Eurosport International figures, while in the TF1 reported results, Eurosport International is in the net profit from held for sale operations line. There is no difference at the net income level. Despite an economic and competitive environment that remained challenging for TF1 in the first quarter, the group advertising revenue was stable compared to last year at €369 million. The current operating income increased €39 million compared to last year thanks to two main elements. First, in light of a strong programming by the competition, especially taking into account the Winter Olympic Games, several programs were scheduled differently than last year. This led to a significant decrease in programming costs, which is largely temporary. Second, TF1 continues to benefit from its optimization plan with an additional €4 million of recurring savings in the first quarter of 2014. €60 million of recurring savings have thus been recorded out of the total €85 million expected by end of 2014. Now let me turn to Eric.
Thank you, Philippe. As presented to you in February, Bouygues Telecom will continue to implement its three strategic priorities in 2014, as shown on slide 20. First, develop the use of mobile data by capitalizing on 4G. Second, accelerate growth in the fixed segments. And third, transform the company. I will come back to the first two priorities in the next slide, but I would like to speak first about the transformation process. We started transforming the company in 2012 and targeted cost savings of €300 million in the mobile activity by the end of 2013, compared to the 2011 cost base. As you know, we achieved this objective faster than expected and finally delivered close to €600 million of savings, with €400 million coming from mobile marketing costs and €200 million from mobile operating costs. Over the same period, costs in the fixed business increased due to the strong growth of the fixed install base that added 172,000 new customers and the launch of the new Sensation Box. Overall, we reduced the total cost base of the company by about €460 million between end 2011 and end 2013. In light of continued severe repricing in the French market in 2013 and its impact on our profitability, we need to deepen and accelerate the transformation of Bouygues Telecom. The management team is currently working on defining what Bouygues Telecom should look like in 2016 in terms of brand positioning, offerings, marketing, as well as organization. We will therefore come back to the market with more details before the end of June. We can, however, already share with you that this new plan includes targeting an additional 300 million euros of annual cost savings by 2016, with significant savings to be achieved by 2015. This target is to be compared to the 2013 mobile and fixed cost base, excluding interconnection costs, taxes, and fees for which we have no control. To come back to our first strategic priority on slide 21, we are focused on delivering the best experience to our mobile data customers in order to grow data usage and increase the value of our customer base. Thanks to our 4G network, which covers 69% of the French population, 13% of Bouygues Telecom's customers were active 4G users at the end of March. 400,000 new 4G users were recorded in the first quarter of 2014, for a total of 1.4 million at the end of March. Those customers use on average 2 gigabytes of data per month, compared to an average 500 megabytes per month for 3G users. This is a very reassuring sign, as we are convinced that 4G users will progressively increase their data consumption and therefore be willing to upgrade their plan. To give you an example of data usage, we see our 4G customers watching TV on their mobile, thanks to the BeTV application offering them access to more than 70 TV channels. I'm proud to mention that we have started to increase 4G data speed by 50% in major French cities, and also to confirm that LTE Advanced will be available for our customers before the summer, starting with Bordeaux and Lyon. Thanks to 4G, we are therefore progressing in attracting customers to value-added plans. That is to say, plans including at least 500 megabytes of data. More than 70% of our retail plan customers were on value-added plans at the end March 2014, compared to 60% at the end of March 2013. In addition, it is interesting to note that close to 60% of the BNU customers are on the data plans at 20 and 25 euros. Looking at commercial results in the first quarter of 2014, Bouygues Telecom won 30,000 new plan customers, but also lost 109,000 prepaid customers. Since we are putting our commercial efforts on data customers, we know that our offerings may be less attractive for prepaid and basic plan customers. As explained in February, it is therefore important to measure the success of Bouygues Telecom's strategy based on the progress in attracting customers to value-added offerings, instead of only focusing on the total number of customers. Turning to our second strategic priority for 2014 on slide 22, Bouygues Telecom won 100,000 new fixed customers in the first quarter, and we are therefore number one in terms of net adds for the second quarter in a row. After the double play offering in November, the new 19.99 euro triple play offering was successfully launched at the beginning of March, and both of them contributed to the net adds increase in the quarter. Importantly, the trend in net adds remained good since the end of the first quarter, despite the intense promotional activity of our competitors. It thus confirms that there is a real customer interest for Bouygues Telecom fixed offers. At the same time, growth continued in the very high-speed market. We gained 15,000 new very high-speed customers in the first quarter of 2014, for a total of 378,000 1,000 customers at end March 2014, or 18% of the base. I hear some comments on a regular basis that Bouygues Telecom is lacking a fixed network. I simply would like to remind you that the Bouygues Telecom ADSL network covers 50% of the French population with its own equipment, and 78% in total in unbundled zones. It is thanks to this network that we have been winning 1.8 million new customers over the past 5 years, excluding the impact of the Darty acquisition, which makes us number one in terms of cumulative net adds in the market since 2009. Additionally, we have 1 million home passed in FTTH on top of the 7.5 million households we can reach thanks to the agreement with Numericable. We certainly do not have the largest fixed network, but we will demonstrate in 2014 that we can accelerate our growth in the fixed market with the existing offering, as well as the new initiatives we will launch during the rest of the year. Now looking at financials on slide 23, the first quarter results reflected the commercial performance of the past 12 months, the continued repricing of the customer base, and the increasing share of SIM-only sales. Looking specifically at repricing, at the end of March 2014, 71% of our customers were on plans whose price had been revised since April 2013, versus 60% at the end of 2013. Total sales were down 5% to 1.085 billion. Sales from handsets and others were up 40%, or 34 million euros this quarter, mainly due to the installment plan model. Sales from network, which also includes an impact from the new handset financing model, declined 9% to 966 million euros. At 163 million euros, EBITDA was down by 49 million euros in the first quarter of 2014 compared to last year, and included 18 million euros for the refarming of the 1800 MHz band. Current operating profit was therefore a loss of 19 million euros. As Philippe already described, operating profit included non-recurrent income and charges, resulting in a positive amount of 200 million euros. They are related, in particular, to litigation settlements. Finally, CapEx for the quarter were 180 million euros, 29 million euros lower than in the first quarter of 2013. Based on the quarter's performance, the outlook for the full year remains unchanged, with a target to generate a slightly positive EBITDA minus CapEx item.
Thank you, Eric. I would like to briefly comment on the financial statements. We have already reviewed the sales and operating profit shown on slide 25. Cost of net debt increased only 2 million euros compared to the first quarter of 2013. The increase related to 4G frequencies being no longer capitalized is offset by lower charges on debt, as the first quarter of 2013 still included the cost of the 700 million bond reimbursed in May 2013. As anticipated, cost of net debt should therefore increase in the second and third quarters. Turning to slide 26, the variation in income tax expense is largely explained by the operating profit for the quarter compared to a loss last year. In the associates and joint ventures line, you will find two items. First, the share of profit from associates was 49 million euros in the first quarter of 2014, and essentially included Alstom's contribution. I remind you that last year's figures included €8 million from the contribution of Cofiroute. Second, the associates and joint ventures line included in the first quarter 2014 the net capital gain related to the sale of Cofiroute. It amounted to €253 million before taking into account the shares of Colas non-controlling interests. The net profit attributable to non-controlling interest, formerly called minority interest, reflects the increase in the net income of Colas, TF1 and Bouygues Telecom compared to the same period of last year. Finally, we will turn our attention to the outlook for the full year. As you can see on slide 28, we confirm the outlook shared with you in our full year 2013 announcement. The group total sales in 2014 are expected to be close to the 2013 level. We believe that the operating performance for the construction businesses should remain robust. TF1 operating results will be marked by the two exceptional events you already know, the Football World Cup and the divestment of Eurosport International. Finally, Bouygues Telecom confirms its target to generate a slightly positive EBITDA minus CAPEX item in 2014. The business will continue to implement the three strategic priorities just described in this presentation, including the implementation of a new plan to further transform the company and save €300 million of additional costs by 2016. This concludes my presentation. Operator, please open the floor for questions.
At this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on your touch-tone phone now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they were received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, press 02. Please make sure that you introduce your name and your company before asking your question. The first question is from Aaron Nicol, Morningstar.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. I was wondering, with you talked about, well, you had offered to sell your network to Iliad in order to acquire SFR. With losing out to Numericable, what other possibilities are there in working with Iliad and or potentially merging with them? And does your network sharing agreement with SFR cause any problems with making some kind of a merger with Iliad? Thank you.
Yes, of course Bouygues remains attentive to the changes taking place within the French telecom sector. And these changes are forcing all market operators to think about all the possibilities and opportunities. And we are one of the operators. But today Bouygues reiterates that its subsidiary, so Bouygues Telecom, is in a position to continue its standalone strategy thanks to the plan we start to implement with the three main elements, development in the data usage, growth in the fixed business, and transforming the company to be able to save €300 million on cost. So it's today our thinking. So we think about all the possibilities, opportunities. We observe the market, but in terms of action, we work on our transformation plan.
Thank you.
The next question is from Dimitri Kalianiotis, Redburn.
Oh, good afternoon. Thank you for taking the questions. My first question is regarding your new savings plan. I mean, what exactly makes you confident that you can return to a satisfactory level of profitability, bearing in mind you've already done one and still the EBITDA margin is very low, 15% this quarter. My second question was regarding your strategy in fixed. You've pushed very aggressively at the low end. We saw some very good net additions, number one, but you've reduced significantly your net additions on very high-speed broadband. So just wanted to get a bit more your view on what you intend to do on very high-speed broadband, if you intend to push more on FTTH, or if you will continue to use numeric cable, or if you actually you're just going to change and be more sort of a low-cost strategy. And my last question is regarding Alstom, which is in the process of selling its energy business to GE and Siemens. And I wanted to know what sort of implication it could have on your stake you have in Alstom. I mean, would you consider selling after that, or you know, what would be the why would you basically still hold a stake in Alstom if it is just a transport business? Thank you.
Yes, I answer to your last question, Dimitri. Definitely our intent today is to stay as a shareholder of the Alstom around the transport activity with the same level of stake, so our 29.3% of Alstom after disposals of part of its activity. So today it's very clear.
Well, Dimitri, regarding your question about telecoms, we are confident that we can achieve our target to reduce costs by 300 million euros by 2016. And if we say that, it is relative to our experience during the past 2 years, where we have already managed to reduce our cost structure. And we are also confident that it can help Bouygues Telecom find a more profitable P&L, because, well, of course, we currently suffer from the further price decrease in 2013, but we expect this decrease to end up probably beginning 2015. So at a certain point, yes, we have to adjust our cost structure to the level of revenues we can generate, but having adapted the cost structure, we think we can find a new equilibrium in terms of profit and loss. Regarding your question about fixed and very high-speed broadband, so it is true to say that during the first quarter we were pretty good in ADSL and probably less good in very high speed, so selling offering using a numeric cable network. This is the result of the focus we have put on from a commercial standpoint, so it is totally logical that pushing our new DSL offering makes us gives us a lower performance for cable options. So I think it's totally logical. But well, nevertheless, we think that the figures we post for Q1 are rather good. Nevertheless.
Thank you.
The next question is from Joseph Pujar, Kepler Cheuvreux.
Yes, good morning. Three questions on my side. The first one is on the RAN sharing agreement. If you could share with us the amount of the penalties that you should have to pay if you were breaking that agreement. My second one is on the working capital requirement deterioration. I think that most of it comes from the construction division, a little bit from real estate maybe. Could you be more specific on the details? And my last one is on these 200 million euros of litigation settlements of one-off in telecom in Q1. Could you also be more specific about those settlements? Thank you very much.
Well, starting by your third question, yes, we confirm that this amount derives from litigation settlements. I don't know what I can give you. I don't know what kind of details I can give you. So I think it's good news anyway. Two reasons. First, we have closed several litigations, and second, it translates in a net profit of 200 million euros for us, so it's good news. Regarding your first question and the RAN sharing agreement, so this agreement is going on, so it has been signed in January. So to be frank, we have been a bit delayed during March and the beginning of April because, well, management teams were focused on another project, and they had less time to focus on this sharing agreement. But, well, this sharing agreement is now going on, and there is no specific penalty mechanism attached to it because the most important thing is that this agreement is in force. So I think it doesn't make sense to talk about penalties or something like that.
Yes, sorry. Just I explained why I'm asking that question, which could be weird, but it's after reading an article that has appeared, I don't know, 1 hour ago at Les Echos, which is mentioning that you are in talks with Orange either to put in, yeah, do a sort of RAN sharing agreement with them, either to merge with them or to sell your Bouygues Telecom company to Orange. So this is why I'm asking that, because I guess that, well, this is a little bit, I would say, if this happened, you could not be able to continue doing the RAN sharing agreement with SFR.
Yes. Regarding the French telecom situation, it's obvious that all operators, and not only operators, but also observers, trade unions, all the stakeholders think about and analyze all type of possibilities, opportunities, scenarios. So there is a lot of possibility and scenarios in the newspaper. So we see one more today. Why not? It's true that all French operators, so including Bouygues Telecom and Bouygues, obviously, think about all type of possibilities and opportunities. But again, for the time being, our action is focused on the implementation of our plan to transform the company. And in this plan, obviously, the network sharing agreement with SFR is obviously part of the picture and part of the plan at the time for the time being because we have signed an agreement, and we will be happy with this agreement in the scenario of the standalone strategy.
Okay. And you confirm that this agreement does not tie you to, I would say, to.
It's an agreement regarding the network sharing. That's all. So between operators, you can have a lot of possibilities to build something. So it's not only regarding mutualization of part of the network, or you have a lot of possibilities. There is a lot of business possible between operators. So all operators, again, alone or through discussions, think about a lot of possibilities because the market requires to think about possibilities, opportunities, and change in the market.
Okay, thank you.
So regarding the working cap requirements variation, so you're right. We have seen a negative and relatively large working cap requirement variation in the construction businesses. So first, you know that in the construction, a quarterly variation is never representative of the full year, and there is some specific and unique elements this quarter. So our statement and forecast for the full year remains as we have mentioned at the beginning of the year. So we anticipate a deterioration between 300 and 400 million euros for the group in terms of working cap requirement variation, mainly in the construction businesses, Bouygues Construction because of the capex for launching new projects, and a lot of new projects, as you know, and Bouygues Immobilier because of the situation of the residential market. So the quarter is not representative of our expectation for the full year, and there is no structural explanation. It's only a timing effect of spendings at end of March. So for us, the situation for the full year will remain as anticipated in the beginning of the year, so a negative variation between 300 to 400 million euros.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from Jacob Bluestone, Credit Suisse.
Hi there. I've got two questions, please. I'm just staying with the topic of sort of strategic options, and as you said, there are many scenarios in the papers. Obviously, wouldn't expect you to comment on any of them individually, but could you perhaps just give us a sort of big picture view of what are your priorities in this process, just so we get a slightly clearer picture of how you're approaching it, how you're thinking about this process. And then secondly, you mentioned that you've got about 1 million fibre to the home lines passed. Could you maybe share with us the number of fibre to the home subs connected? Thank you.
You speak about the process of the transformation plan.
No, I was more thinking in terms of the ownership. So, I mean, obviously, there have been press reports.
Definitely, the answer is very clear. Our priority is to start and to execute properly our transformation plan.
So. Regarding FTTH, your question was about the number of customers, actual customers, if I understand well.
Exactly, so not on cable.
So on cable, you mean?
Yeah, not on cable.
Yes, on FTTH.
FTTH. Well, it is the very beginning, so it is not significant at this time, so we are at the very beginning of the commercial phase of FTTH. So it's not significant to date.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Nicolas Cote-Corisson, HSBC.
Well, hi, thank you. The 300 million cost saving, are they total costs or just fixed costs? And beyond this, I'm just trying to estimate what could be your targeted level of EBITDA by 2016, and actually just adding back 300 million to what could be the consensus, EBITDA consensus for this year would not take you well above 1 billion. I was wondering if such level of EBITDA would be enough for you to stay on a standalone basis in the future.
Well, hi, Nicolas. Opposite to the previous plan, this time our target concerns the total cost structure of Bouygues Telecom, so that is to say not only mobile, but also fixed. So all type of costs of Bouygues Telecom, so mobile plus fixed.
Oh, sorry, I was thinking about fixed cost as opposed to commercial costs.
Ah, yes, okay. It is not a fixed business cost. Yes, it's commercial cost plus what you can call a fixed cost, structure cost, or operational cost.
So if you take away 300,
but mainly non-commercial cost compared to the previous cost-saving exercise where the vast majority was on the commercial type of costs.
Okay, and if I may follow up on another question, I was wondering what was the proportion of net adds in fixed line out of the 100K? How much? What was the proportion of the 1999 offers? Because looking at the ARPU, it looks like it is up this quarter, and I was wondering why, if the 1999 euros offer was that successful.
You mean the proportion of 1999 offer during the in the within
in
the
Q1, yes,
because the connections of the first quarter,
yes.
In March, of course, it is the majority. It is not the case for January or February, but so for the quarter, it's a mix between March, where of course this offering was number one,
far
beyond the other offerings. And it's not the case for the two previous months. But yes, of course, this plan is attracting a lot of customers. And that is also the reason why I answered to, I think it was to Joseph or Dimitri a few minutes ago, that we were less good in very high speed, for very high speed offerings.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Frédéric Boulan-Nomura.
Hi, thanks for taking the question. A couple of follow-ups. Firstly, on the free cash flow point, I'm trying to understand, again, where you see the telecom business free cash flow generation in the medium term. As you described last time, despite 200 million savings, free cash flow disappeared. So, where do you see a stable equilibrium in the medium term? And as a group level, are you still talking about or planning to reach about 4 billion of debt for the year, which, on my numbers means that despite a billion of cash proceeds from Cofiroute primarily, free cash flow is still down about 600 million year on year despite that. So still very strong cash flow burn at the group level. I understand it's driven by working cap, but that's been the case for a number of years now. So it's quite difficult to differentiate what's structural and what's temporary. And a second area on Numericab, you seem to be happy to continue to push savings on the network side. So do you have similar ambitions in terms of using and leveraging the Doctis 3 technology as your main tool for high-speed broadband? So again, if you could confirm that beyond network sharing, you're also happy to continue to work and expand on the agreement you have on the their white cable offer. Thank you very much.
Yes, Frédéric, on your first question about free cash flow, so we think that we are in a market where usage is going fast. There are a lot of opportunities on the mobile segment, on the fixed segment, and the enterprise segment, and also for connecting more and more devices or more and more objects. So we see a lot of opportunities in this market, but we have to face a situation where prices have been dropped by 30-40%. So it's a difficult exercise for us to transform the company, but we have demonstrated that we were determined to do it. So we think that there is still some transformation to make. And that is the reason why we have announced this plan today with a 300 million euro objective. And of course, we think that at a certain point, Bouygues Telecom as a company will be fit to the market level of revenues. And there is no reason for which we would not be capable of adapting ourselves to this market situation. So yes, we are confident that on a market with usage increasing from day to day, we can achieve a reasonable level of cash flow satisfactory to our shareholders. As regards our cooperation with Numericab, we continue to serve our customers with Numerical Network. We continue also to grow our customer base, and we see no reason to terminate our agreement with Numerical. So this agreement is beneficial to both parties, and we are very happy if Numericable, as a network company, is able to upgrade its own network, because we will, as a reseller of their network capacity, we will be in a position to benefit from that pari passu. So no reason to not to continue to work with Numericable.
Thank you. The next question is from Jerry Dillis, Jefferies.
Yes, good evening. Thank you for taking my questions. First question is really, within the network JV that you have with SFR, is there actually specific potential within the agreement for you to decide to reduce your activity with SFR and potentially to do some network mutualization work with Orange going forwards? And the specific point is really whether there is a potential within the agreement for you to do that, or is that option completely closed down? The second question is, within the 300 million of telecoms cost savings by 2016, how much of that is related to the potential headcount reductions that we've been reading about in the press over recent days, and how much is related to store closures, if you like? It's possible to get some granularity around that. And then the final question, just on telecom EBITDA, within your guidance for EBITDA minus CapEx to be slightly positive this year, is there an assumption essentially around the EBITDA number there? I think ex spectrum fees, EBITDA was down 15% in the first quarter. Is that indicative of the sort of full year run rate? Thank you.
Well, first, as regards the network sharing, so this agreement does not provide that we can welcome any additional operator or work in parallel with another operator. So it's like a wedding. We are not in a polygamic agreement style. So if we decide to share a network, we share with someone and not with anyone. So of course, the agreement does not provide that we are free to do something else with another operator. It would not make sense to have all options opened in an agreement where the main purpose is to save costs, that is to say, to make something more, to mutualize, to simplify, and to concentrate investment for the benefit of the two participants. So no, we cannot. There is no option to open this agreement with all possible operators. Your second question was about the cost reduction objective of 300 million euros. So we have not finalized the plan that will lead us to reach this objective, but we think that this plan, when finalized, will probably show social consequences. But of course, if it is the case, we will discuss that first with employee representative, as it is, of course, always the case. Regarding your third question and our target of EBITDA minus CapEx positive in 2014, so if we have taken this this key indicator to give you some guidance in 2014, it was because we were more comfortable with the fact that we can play with both items, but at the end of the day, we think that the most important thing for us is to see Bouygues Telecom delivering a positive EBITDA minus capex. That is to say, we are in operational condition not to to burn cash, despite the very difficult phase of we live in 2014 with a drop in ARPU.
Thank you very much.
Next question is from Vincent Mollet, Oddo.
Yeah, good evening. Two quick follow-ups. The first on a potentially Orange Bouygues Telecom merger. For which reason the merger would be analyzed by Brussels and not by Paris? And the second question on the cost savings program. On top of an assumption of 150 million euro labor reduction, what kind of new paradigm will drive the remaining 150 million euros? So is it the less relevance of the shops, the more limited offers in your portfolio? Is it the SIM-only? Is it the real estate?
Well, I will not in detail your second question, but you know, the main drivers that will help us saving costs are mainly simplification, so the possibility we have to simplify our offering, also to simplify our processes, to simplify the way people, customers interact with the company, and of course the impact this simplification will have on, among other things, on IT systems, but also support functions and so on. So we think that the main driver is simplification, and we think it is normal in a market where prices have gone down very much. It is normal to try to refocus the offering on a more limited number of plans, and also to propose to customers to have a simplified interaction with their operators. So it is this driver that will globally help us save 300 million euros. I can't tell you what is the precise amount which will be linked to one item or another. And of course, if we if the plan that we have to that we work on currently includes social impacts, we will discuss that first with employee representatives.
And regarding your first question, I have no comment, and you have to ask this question to the people we imagine or analyze or discuss this type of scheme.
All right.
Thank you. The final question comes from Giovanni Mottolti, UBS.
Good afternoon. Unfortunately, I've lost a big part of your presentation, so apologies if I ask something.
Sorry about that.
No. Sorry if I ask something that has already been explained. So a few questions. On the, just wanted to know if you can give us an update on the current trading for your low-end broadband offer. So let's say how it's going in April and May. Also wanted to know if in the 300 million savings you are targeting by 2016 there is any significant contribution from the network sharing agreement. And as for the litigation, you were mentioning this one-off at the telecom unit. Is this, let's say, a gain or the reversal of a provision because of some, let's say, cost that you were, that you are provisioning, and so is this a cash element that you have to consider or just a non-cash? And last question about Alstom, do you see any risk from this proposal of Mr. Montebourg of making, let's say, the deal with General Electric more difficult? And also, what would be the use of the eventual cash-in that you would potentially get from a special dividend that Alstom could pay? Obviously, I mean, this depends on the Alstom board, I guess, but is there any priority for you to employ this money? Thank you.
Well, first, Regarding your first question about our current trading on the fixed broadband segment, so things are going well, and the trend is good despite a lot of promotional activity from our competitors. So we are quite happy to. We think that this plan has really met. Has really been welcomed by a lot of customers, and we are very happy with that. Regarding the network sharing, I would say globally no, or in 2016 it is too early to benefit from significant effects from the network sharing agreement. So the positive effects of the network sharing agreement will kick in probably more in 2017 and moving forward, but not significantly in 2016. So we don't rely upon the network sharing agreement to achieve those 300 million euro savings objective. And regarding the exceptional item, it will be it will be a cash item over the year 2014. So not in total at the end of March, but on year 2014, it will be a 100% cash element. So it's not just
a reversal of provision. So regarding Alstom and your two questions, definitely for the second question is clearly too early to answer this question. We will be what will be the situation during the process. Regarding the new decree launched by the French government today, we have no specific comments to do. Obviously, all stakeholders around this operation will, of course, respect the French law and its evolution. So we have to take that into account, and that's a point, and with absolutely no other comment than to take that into account.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. Mr. Ryan, there are no further questions at this time.
Okay, so thank you for joining us today. We will be announcing half year 2014 sales and earnings on August the 28th. Should you have any question, please contact our investor relations team, obviously. Their contact information is on the press release and on our website. Thank you very much for all of you.
Bye-bye.
This concludes Bouygues Earnings Conference Call for first quarter 2014 results. Thank you for attending. You may now disconnect.